In recent months, people have come to know something called the Public Arts Committee. But the Public Arts Committee is not something new. It's just kind of become an awareness with a recent look at a mural that is going to be put on the Central Lincoln PUD building that was passed at the beginning of April. Now we're into the month of May. I noticed the other day that the building was getting pressure washed. So I invited Harlan Springer, who is the chairman of the Public Arts Committee, and Kelly Weiss, who's with the city, to talk about the Public Arts Committee and kind of where it started and where it is today. So welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Why, thank you for having us.
So obviously, a lot of people became aware of it in the last couple months, but the Public Arts Committee has been doing work and supporting public art in the city for, what, two and a half years somewhere?
Oh, it's been almost 4 years.
4 years. Almost 4 years. So, Harlan, tell me about the inception, where it all began from.
Well, it all began in 2015. We had a steering committee. We formed a steering committee to start talking about what's the potential for public art in the community. And we began with a visit to the port, and the port was interested in supporting us, and they gave us some space there. So we then put out a call to artists, and we found a local artist who did a nautical theme down at the port. And from there, we expanded our committee. We went and got approval from the city council to form a full committee. And so since that time, we're in the process. The mural will become our ninth piece of artwork that we've installed. And these are a variety of works, from the piece at the port, which is a nautical theme, all the way to donations. We've received three donations. A couple of those were done by local artists as well. And we now have four sculptures installed in Old Town. One of those is also by a local artist. So that's the eight pieces up to now. They are a variety of themes, a variety of artists, and the mural is one more of those.
Now, when you talk about the Public Arts Committee, my thought is, well, where do the people come from that make up the committee, and what kind of backgrounds do they come from as far as that goes? So if you could give us a little background on
certainly,
that.
Certainly. We have a wide range of diversity on the committee. These are people who are interested citizens. They are business owners. They are gallery owners. Some are artists. They have a wide range of ages and backgrounds and genders. So they're a really broad cross-section of the community. And so in addition to 11 members that we have now, we also have three what are called ex officio members, and Kelly is one of those, who give us guidance around city ordinances and that sort of thing. So we have basically 14 people who, again, represent a wide cross-section of the community.
Yeah, it's a really great group. They've got I think she's a senior in high school, all the way up to the other side of the senior world.
Mm-hmm. So young senior to old senior.
That's right.
And everywhere in between. Now, being that this is the ninth piece that's going up, the mural will be the ninth piece. Mm-hmm. There was an idea that all of a sudden, oh, this was sprung on us. But one of the things that I want to bring up is, love it or hate it, art is meant to be talked about. And in a sense, this is a good thing that it's been talked about. But this is something that's been in the works for a while. Now, granted, the final piece that said this is what we want to put up came later on, but the public has been open and available to come to meetings discussing the public art, right? Even from 4 years ago.
Yes, absolutely. That's a very good point. We began this process of public outreach, which we're very committed to, back in August of 2017. We had a public forum at City Light Cinema where we took input from the public about what they wanted to see. At that time, we advised them of some of the locations that we have identified, and one of them was this location. Since that time, we have been in the Cyuse Law newspaper every month with an update of what we're doing and how we're doing it. We've actually been interviewed here at the station a couple of times since then as well. So we're very much out there. We've done the public forum. We've been in the newspaper. We've been on the radio. We have appeared at City Club, at Rotary. And also, as you mentioned, all of our meetings are open to the public. And they're publicized, that they're open to the public. And we have a special section at every meeting where we gather public input. And so as far as the mural project, we followed that process. All of our meetings were open, and that project began with what's called a call to artists, which goes out to, you know, a wide variety of artists around the country and around the world. And through that, we received 103 entries. Okay. By the way, four of those were from local artists. Okay. We then have a scoring sheet. We had a subcommittee. We have a scoring sheet where we scored them, and we went from 103 down to 25.
Now, did they submit things to you?
Yes,
Is that how you scored them? Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, they submitted their portfolio. So it wasn't necessarily at this point that they were submitting what they proposed for the wall.
Right.
It was their past work.
Right.
So a lot of what the scoring was about was
their style,
making sure that they had done a very similar sized mural in another community because it's a very big mural. Those sort of things. We want to make sure that they were qualified to be able to get up on the lift and feel comfortable doing this monstrous mural in our community. So
once we got down to the 25, then it becomes, you know, much more difficult, because then what we did was we took an in-depth look at each of their works and we discussed them in detail. And we then went from 25 entries or artists down to 12, down to 7, down to 5. The subcommittee then brought those 5 to the full committee. And that was also in a public meeting. And we had public input at that meeting where we said, these are 5. We want to get it down to 3. And so at that meeting, we got it down to 3 artists. We then asked those 3 artists to go away and give us a rendering of what it would look like on the actual building. Because as Kelly said, what we'd seen so far was just their work that had already existed on other places. So each artist then gave us 3 renderings of what they would do on this building. At that point, we went back out to the public and we said, we'd like to have the public involved in the final decision. And so we sent out applications and we received a whole bunch of applications back. We selected some people from the public to come and sit on the final selection committee. And so the selection committee made a unanimous recommendation. It then came back to the full committee again in another public meeting. And the subcommittee made their recommendation for the artist that we wanted, which is the one we selected. And that was passed unanimously by the full committee, a public meeting.
That was at the December Public Art Committee meeting. And that one was very thoroughly published. So we had it on the city's website. We did notices to property owners and businesses within 500 feet of the mural. And we did public service announcements out through the community. So we had a lot of public interest at that December Public Art Committee meeting, which was great. We took a lot of the thought and feedback that we received from the public and really used it to make sure that this mural fit the community, or at least was the goal.
Well, as you guys probably well know, because you know you're in the middle of it too, but from my side of it, everywhere I go, someone wants to talk to me about the mural. Someone wants to ask about that. And one of the things that comes up the most is that, well, a lot of people wanted an actual depiction of something that was Florence. Like Newport has the whales, which looks like a whale in the water. But yet, this is a more abstract thing. What was the thought behind choosing something abstract versus something in a more realistic fashion?
First of all, on a wall of this size, you know, something needs to, what we call the wow factor. It needs to generate interest and attention. Okay, so that was one of the things we looked for. Then we wanted it to incorporate some of the local history and culture, which some of the comments we've received back were about that. So if you look at the actual mural itself, the Siuslaw Bridge is prominent in the background, very prominent. There's also wildlife. There's seagulls. There's deer. There's also rhododendrons, which are very prominent there. There's also 2 Native American figures. And we worked closely with the Confederated Tribes to make sure they were depicted accurately. For example, the original rendering had a big white flower right in the middle. And none of us really liked that. And we were trying to figure out how we were going to politely tell the artist that we wanted a different color. When we went to the tribes, Jesse Beers, who was very helpful to us at the tribe, said, you know, it's like a white, I forget the name of the flower, but there's a white flower. That's actually the flower of death.
Right.
And so we decided, well, that's probably not a good idea. Let's not do that. So those are the kind of things Kelly's talking about, that we made some changes. But at the end of the day, and when you mentioned abstract, there are a lot of squares in the work itself. And that's the artist, who's a 5th-generation Oregonian, by the way. She grew up in a family of quilters. And so she wanted to honor that legacy of quilting. So that's, if you look closely, you can see the quilting patterns, and that's what the squares are. So that's what makes it, as you say, sort of abstract. It's not a direct thing. It's an artistic version of, you know, history and culture and local lore. It's just done in an artistic, interesting way. But we admit that it's different. Mm-hmm. It's bold, it's bright, and it's not straight on. And so some of the reaction we're getting is mostly just that it's different. And we sincerely believe that when people see it, and it's interesting, when people came to the hearing, some people came ready to speak in opposition But when they saw what we had done and what the thing was going to look like, they switched their vote. And so we're very encouraged by them. We think the more people see this and get involved in it, the more popular it's going to become. And on that note, I wanted to make one other thing about getting involved. On, you mentioned that the wall is being prepared right now. So the artist is going to be in town on the 12th, 13th of May. And the Friday of Roadie Days, that's the 17th, we're going to have what's called a public paint. And a public paint, this artist does this a lot. And what it's an opportunity for the public. We're going to close off the street there. And we're going to, the public can come up and it'll be sort of drawn out up there. Public will have a chance to actually, you know, dab some paint on the mural. It's going to be a really fun project. It's May 17th.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to that.
That's actually really going to be a great opportunity because the kids are going to be out of school that day. So it's a good chance to have families come down and have something fun to do and really have their sense of ownership in the mural, too. Should be fun.
Well, and going back to the Newport one again, because I just want to show some contrast between one and the other. When you see the whales, and then your eye moves on and you continue going down the road. With this, purposefully, I believe, there are many, many different aspects of it so that people can spend a little bit of time looking at it.
Yep.
And I know one of the issues that they talked about in the city council meeting was, oh, well, this could be a hazard to traffic there. I'm not so sure I understand that. I understand people will be looking at it, but I don't know that they'll be looking at it to the sense where they'll be backing into somebody or running into somebody.
Well,
so
yeah.
So what's the what is the argument against that point?
Well, first of all, we did traffic studies on that intersection there, and it's not with the police department there. It's not significant. There's not significant activity there, negative activity. That's number one. Number two, we also showed pictures as you come up, as you come down Highway 126, there are trees that are in the way. So you're not going to be supposedly distracted by this for a long period of time. That's just not happening. That's not the way it's going to happen. You're going to see it, but it's true. When you see it. And this was purposeful, to your point, that we want people to look at it and say, that's interesting. Maybe I should drive around
park
and take a look at that. Or more importantly, that's an interesting looking, you know, depiction of this area. This area looks kind of interesting to me. Maybe we should stay here, stop and look around. We worked closely with the Eugene. As you know, the Eugene has a huge mural project going on right now for the track meet in 21. And we're very close to those people who are doing that. And they said that the murals are having a direct impact on the people's attitude about the vibrancy of Eugene. People see these murals and they say, hey, something must be happening there. Maybe I should stop. Maybe we should spend some time there. And that's what public art should do. You know, it should cause a conversation, as Kelly said before. It should cause a conversation and have people stop and look around. That's what we want.
Another thing that people have said to me is that they don't dislike the mural. They were just curious about the placement of it, where it was placed. What do you say to folks that say that?
Well, first of all, as I mentioned earlier, we have a variety of placements, and we talk about we drove around the art committee drove around in a van for several hours, several days, and we have several locations around town we can put murals up. And there will be large murals, small murals, a variety of murals. But we felt that this was a building that was prime for a mural because it's just a big blank, you know.
Canvas.
Yeah, yeah. And it's boring, it's dull, there's nothing there. And yet it's our entrance to the city.
Yeah.
And so also this ties in with the whole revision project. The revision project is trying to get people to slow down and enjoy what's going to happen. And revision is going to come down 126, mm-hmm. down past the mural here. So this is another factor in revision to help people slow down and look at things. So we want people to slow down and look at this. And because there's so many pieces to it, you know, you can slow down and look at it and drive and park, like you said. Also, the artist, if you look at the south side, that's where the bicycle rider is and the rhododendrons. And they said that's a perfect spot for selfies. I mean, that's how mural artists think about things now, can you do selfies there? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things to like about this location. It's an entrance to the city. It's bold and bright. It looks interesting. And it's great for selfies.
Yeah. Ultimately, murals' purpose, well, at least one of their purposes, is to create that pedestrian atmosphere. And that's all part of the Revision Florence project as well, is to bring that pedestrian atmosphere from Old Town all the way up to the highway and really make our downtown cohesive.
Right, to sort of bring it all together.
Yeah.
Which, of course, obviously the streetscape is going to do a lot of that as well.
Yeah.
Tell me what the end result of the meeting with the city council and that, and where is funding at? Where is the future of the Public Arts Committee as far as from the city's aspect goes?
Yeah, so aside from the mural was on the April 1st council meeting, but along with that, at the April 1st council meeting, the council passed their upcoming work plan for the next two-year cycle. And so we use our work plan as a marching orders as city staff for how to implement the council goals for the next 2 years. And it's a direct influence on our budget. So the work plan that they adopted has the Public Arts Committee. So historically, the Public Arts Committee has sought out funding from the Florence Urban Renewal Agency, which was a decent match because the Florence Urban Renewal Agency's entire goal is to improve property values. And public art has been shown to do that. There's historical evidence in other communities of how it does that. So it was a pretty decent match. And it also provided that seed money to get the Public Arts Committee started. Well, at the work session and then eventual at the council meeting on April 1st, the council has decided that the Public Arts Committee will not be asking Urban Renewal for any additional funding in the future. So that means that the two projects that we have in the hopper, so to speak, that are already under contract, the mural and the bridge steps, are going to continuously be funded by Urban Renewal until they're completed, but there'll be no additional funding from Urban Renewal for at least the next two-year cycle. Because of that work plan decision that the council made. However, we will have some funding. It'll be much, much more limited from the general fund. So that's, in some ways, it's a positive because then we can expand our influence outside of the Urban Renewal Agency borders, which has always been an issue when your funding comes from Urban Renewal. So that's a good piece of that puzzle, but it does affect our budget in the long run. We will have significantly less funding. Which means we have to turn our course and focus more on fundraising and grants, which we've been applying for. We've applied for two grants so far, and we're still waiting to hear from one. So, you know, we're going to keep trucking, and we're going to keep moving towards these projects because they're important to the community.
So with the onset of looking for new funding from other places, from grants and things like that, what is this going – is this going to affect – public input into the art projects that are chosen if no city money or tax money is gotten from these?
Not necessarily. So we are still going to be functioning as a public agency, and the art that we place is still going to be public art. So we have what we call our public art guidelines, which is our marching orders, so to speak, for how we acquire art. And that's how that process that we just laid out about the mural, that's how that's all spelled out. So that's our general process for acquiring art. However, if we are fundraising, that means that whoever is donating or whoever is perhaps who are fundraising for a specific piece of art and maybe it's sponsored by a business in town, well, you can bet that business is going to want to have a big influence on what that art looks like. So that'll affect it to some extent, but it's still going to be public art and it's still going to have a public process.
Also, in terms of fundraising for public art, it's not like having sales or things like that that bring in $300 or $400 we're talking about public art that's $15,000 or $20,000 each. So our fundraising, we have to think about, you know, the parameters of what we need in order to get public art up. But you mentioned public outreach. We're gonna continue and even improve our public outreach. You know, it seems like no matter what you do, no matter how much you think you're communicating out to the public, it never seems to be quite enough. And so we're going to redouble our efforts to be out. We're going to also talk to community groups. I mentioned before, we've talked to Rotary and City Club. We're going to talk to the Kiwanis next month. We're going to be in front of any group that will listen to us. And we'll be on the Slice of News every month. We'll be here if we're invited again. We'd love
Absolutely.
To come. And so we're also going to be encouraging, as we did, we had a Public Art Committee meeting yesterday. And we had several members of the public came and spoke. So we're going to continue to encourage that. So we're continuing to move. It's just that our process will change a little bit because we'll have to have more effort into fundraising and grant writing in order to ensure our funding. That our funding is just not as certain as it was before.
Yeah,
I spoke with Joshua Green at length. I spoke with the mayor a little bit too. As an art lover, what does the negative input do personally when you have something that you're so passionate about? How does that affect you?
You know, first of all, when you're in the art game, as I tell the people on the committee, art is subjective by nature. And so you expect that there will be different reactions from different people. Art's never going to be 100%. Everybody loves it. And so we accept that coming in. So in terms of how it affects us, you know, it never feels good to be criticized, but it's causing a conversation. In my point of view, it's causing a conversation. People are thinking about it. And people are now thinking, well, I don't like that, but I like this better. And it makes all of us think about what could be better. So we don't take it as a negative. We take it as we expect that there will be input, particularly when this is a different looking piece than has come here before. So it's not surprising there would be discussion about it. And going forward, as we have said, we would like to do a variety of other kinds of murals that might have, you know, more local themes or more just local artists. So we're committed to having lots and lots of murals that would continue our variety of murals, and we welcome more and more public input. And we recognize that sometimes, you know, it'll be negative, but, you know, as long as it's done in a professional manner and saying, this is, you know, I wish you had done this, or would you think about this in the future? That's the input we've been getting as we got last night at our meeting. It's like, hey, in the future, could you think about this? And here's an idea I have as a citizen. What about that? That's constructive, positive feedback that we can all use.
Kelly, one of the things that was mentioned in the city council meeting when all this was coming up was the idea of, you know, the people that were initially against it had to wait till the end of the meeting. Mm. Is that something that is going to be looked at now and maybe like intersperse plus and minus in
yeah.
there? Or is that the way it's supposed to be set up?
That is the way it's supposed to be set up for land
one
use public hearings. The reason for it, and I get where people are coming from with the opposition because there were so many people there. But the idea behind it is it's a judicial hearing. Mm-hmm. It's just like you were presenting in front of a court or something
right.
to that effect. So the idea is that you have one side have all of their statements so the judges, quote unquote, the council, can hear all of the statements for the proposal. Then you have the opposition, so then the judges can get all of the statements against, and then they can have all of that information kind of cohesive for their decision-making process. It also, if you go alternating, it quickly becomes a tit for tat. People are responding to the person before them, and you don't necessarily get to the heart of the arguments, which is the goal of a land use hearing. However, that's just because we're talking about a formal land use hearing process. When people are coming to talk to the Public Arts Committee about these works, we don't have to be that formal
right,
at all.
It's not regulated. So
no.
Someone comes up
right.
and says, I got something to say.
Exactly.
That's right. the way it goes.
Right. So that's the best opportunity. And I've heard people talk about how they can't make the meetings, and I totally get it. We all have lives. We all work. So you can submit comments in writing, or you can just call me and we can talk it out. There's lots of opportunities for people to get involved. Actually, it's a good point because we're going to be talking about our next projects and working towards what we call a master plan, which sounds really intensive, but it just means what are our next projects? How are we going to try to find funding for those? We want to get a lot of public input for that. So we're going to be taking our show on the road, so to speak, and probably doing another forum like we did in 2017 and trying to figure out, okay, so we've done these first few projects. Most of them are concentrated in Old Town. What are some areas that we could do public art in the future? What are things that the community would like to see? So it will be a chance for us. We're hoping to hit some of the local HOAs and some of our local community groups in the schools, either with surveys or with actual presentations. So it'll be a good time for people to get involved. And if anything, the mural has really brought that to attention where people have been able to understand and get involved and become excited. Even if they're not excited about the mural, they're excited about the program and the improvements in the community.
And there's always a balance between and public art. People in public art cities all over the world face this issue. It's like you want to have a nod toward the local culture and local icons, but you want to make it interesting and artistic. And so that's the balance that we on the committee are trying to strike, is that we want to have a lot of input about what do you want specifically about local things, but how do we make it interesting for visitors to come and for young people to want to stay here? Kelly mentioned one of the members of our art committee is a high school senior. And she spoke actually at the hearing and said, you know, this is the kind of art that young people don't get to see a lot here, and yet they want to, and they should. And so this is the kind of thing that would appeal to young people, and we want to adhere to that as well. So there's a lot of constituencies that we're trying to please here. And so our meetings are interesting.
Well, I look forward to hearing more about what's coming up. Maybe we can get you back again when you kind of get the master plan together.
Yeah, good idea.
Thank you.
Harlan Springer, Kelly Weiss, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Coming up next, a bond measure on the Lane County ballot could increase our taxes, but it's a call for a new courthouse. We'll talk with Jay Bozovich next.